Welcome to She Talks Tech, the brand new podcast from We Are Tech Women.
In the last 3 months, we have been reminded of good it can do, and we've lived our lives on the internet, and it's still the source of much innovation.
I'm Vanessa Vallely OBE, founder of We Are The City and We Are Tech Women. As an individual that's been a technologist, both in the corporate space and as an entrepreneur, I know how tough it can be to rise to the top of our profession. Women in tech make up just 17% of the industry in the UK, and those stats do not improve even if you look overseas. At We Are Tech Women, we want you to rise to the top of the industry. We want you to sit into senior positions and be key decision makers. The She Talks Tech podcast will bring you stories, lessons and tips from some of the most inspirational women and men in the industry. Today we hear from the incredible Dame Wendy Hall, who is in conversation with the amazing Julia Streets. During this episode, they will be discussing the evolution of the internet and why Dame Wendy believes it is the greatest innovation of all time. However, Dame Wendy is quick to tell us that there is a growing need for global governance, standards and control. Dame Wendy DBE is a Regius Professor of Computer Science, Associate Vice President, and is an Executive Director of the Web Science Institute at the University of Southampton. Wendy became a Dame Commander of the British Empire in 2009, and she has been a member of the UK's Prime Minister's Council for Science and Technology, the European Research Council, and the Global Commission on Internet Governance. I could go on, her accolades are amazing. Julia Streets has over 20 years' experience in business, financial services, marketing, and technology. She's a multi-award winner, a global speaker. She advises fintech. She's a trustee for Children in Crisis. There are no bounds to what this woman can do. Listen in to what will no doubt be a thrilling conversation.
Dame Wendy, welcome. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hello, Julia.
Great to see you. Thank you so much for being with us. My name is Julia Streets. I'm a founder and a CEO of a business all about financial services and technology. So this is my kind of conversation, I have to say. I've been so looking forward to it. I have an extraordinary biography in front of me, as you would imagine. So I'm not going to sit and read it through, but I just wondered if I may, just to pull out a few key highlights that really sort of struck with me, but also which I thought would strike the audience as well. So Dame Wendy Hall, I mean, incredibly prestigious career. If I look back to 1994, University of Southampton's first female professor of engineering, and then went on to serve as head of the School of Electronics and Computer Science, then wind on a little bit further and co-founded the Web Science Research Initiative, launched in 2006, with a mission to support the development of research, education, and thought leadership in web science. Then went on and has been involved with the World Economic Forum Global Futures Council on the Digital Economy. Of course, at We Are Tech Women, we're talking about artificial intelligence. So, UK government's first skills champion for AI and a member of the newly formed AI Council. And then in May this year, was appointed chair of the Ada Lovelace Institute. Extraordinary. I mean, I could go on. And of course, the one that I must mention is that in 2009, New Year's Honours, was appointed Dame Commander of the Order of the British Empire, DBE. So it's wonderful to spend time with you today. Thank you for being with us. I was going to think about where to begin. I imagine the brief I was given. And I thought the most sensible starting point actually would be to ask you, what innovation excites you the most?
Well, I get excited about lots of things. It's part of my problem. But the way I want to answer that is to talk about the internet, which, of course, a lot of my research career has been to do with the World Wide Web, which was built on top of the internet. And, you know, the internet with the web is one of the major innovations of the 20th century. But we are living through a pandemic. We have been living through an unprecedented, you know, in living memory lockdown. And we haven't come out of that yet. We haven't come through the whole pandemic thing yet. And what has been our lifeline throughout that has been the internet. And it has reminded me, and I think many of us, about how amazing that invention was and how it is for the good of everybody. And how precious that is, because it has, it itself was an innovation, but it has inspired and allowed for so many other innovations. It has changed the way that we live our lives. And before COVID, we were looking very much at the, oh gosh, you know, well, this internet, it's so bad for us because we can lie on it and we can bully people and we can harass people and we can do all nasty things on it and we can maybe use it to change the results of an election. But in the last 3 months, we have been reminded of good it can do, and we've lived our lives on the internet, and it's still the source of much innovation. And so I have to say, I could talk about AI and the wonderful things that are happening in the future, next generation AI and all sorts of amazing things. But for me, the most important thing is the internet, the World Wide Web, and how precious they are and how we've got to look after them.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's always a counter to how precious things are, which is things that we must be cautious of. And I know that certainly you're thinking about the potential downsides, the potential risks of everything that's going on at the moment. I don't want to be the one to bring down the energy in a conversation.
But
I do wonder, what should we be cautious of?
As I said before, we have been worried for some time about the abuse of the internet. Mm. But both the internet, invented in the 70s, really, by Vint Cerf and Bob Kahn, and then the World Wide Web, the standards invented by Tim Berners-Lee in the 80s and 90s, are based on open and free and universal standards, which is what makes it all work as a global technology by which we can communicate with each other at any time of the day and night around the world. That is owned by nobody. It is not a company. It is not of a government. It is not even a self-selected community, not-for-profit. It is of the people, if you like. It was given to us by the inventors as open and free standards. There are organizations that protect those open and free standards, but they are run on a shoestring. They're run by volunteers. And so nobody owns it. There is nobody's job to protect it. And it has become, in some ways, I want to say, not a weapon of mass destruction, a weapon of misinformation. I mean, and governments are beginning to see the political value of the internet and how it can be used either to control their citizens or persuade people to behave in a particular way or to attack another government or to try and bring down another government. I mean, there's all the story about how Australia was hacked only this week by alleged another state. And meanwhile, this internet thing is so important to all our lives. So who is looking after it? Who actually is worrying about making sure that those standards stay open and free and universal? Because if they don't, then we would not be able to communicate with our families around the world or do trade on the internet or talk to political leaders in other countries about making sure the planet stays safe, or we can deal with all the big challenges like climate and food shortages and water scarcity and pandemics, which are of the globe. And we need a global internet to help us manage those challenges. So I think it's really important that governments understand how precious it is and how it needs to be looked after.
And what do you see as the critical success factor of governments kind of waking up to that? Is it that on one hand, they have to have been hacked and disrupted beyond their comprehension to get the point? Or are you quite positive that they are coming together? And
I think that it's a bit like I saw young Greta talking about climate change and saying, I love the phrase, given the planet a chance to breathe, right? Mm. Well, we've all been stuck at home. No one's flying anywhere, taking cruise ships anywhere. You know, unfortunately, of course, a lot of people are suffering economically because of all this. There's been this little glimpse of what the world used to be like before pollution and all the transport and other things that we do to damage the planet. And in some ways, you know, there are going to be upsides to this pandemic. We will learn lessons and we will come out differently. I would include in that we've learnt what's so good about the internet. And I think this is a wake-up call for governments. I do happen to be writing a book at the moment, Julia. I hate it.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it.
It's not out yet. So this is not a publicity sell, but it's my colleague Kieran O'Hara and I wrote a paper. We talk about the four internets. well, not the four, we talk about four internets, where we start, number one is the open, free, universal one, you know, where it's sort of the Silicon Valley, you know, that all the companies like Google and Amazon and Facebook and the Chinese equivalents have grown on top of. And then we talk about the market force-led internet that's come out of the East Coast, you know, the Washington and the lobbyists and politicians in Americas. We talk about the data protection issues that Europe is really using to think about how we control the internet in Europe through data privacy issues. And China, of course, is a country where the internet means understanding, seeing what people do on it. And you can call it surveillance or you could call it paternalism. And then you have state actors like Russia and others that seek to disrupt everything. And I'm writing that book at the moment. And it's so timely. Maybe we saw this coming and we've all been talking about, you know, the big global challenges like climate, like a potential pandemic. Well, here we are in the middle of one with a higher mortality rate and we couldn't share that information. I mean, you know, it would be the end of the human race. So horrible thought. So I say, wake up call for governments. And am I hopeful? I am, because unfortunately, we've had this pandemic that has raised this awareness. I am hopeful that governments will understand that there are technical standards that have to be supported. If every country did its own thing on the internet, it wouldn't be an internet. It would cease to be functions an internet. And I think that's what I'm hopeful about. In the long term, who owns the internet? I think we have to have global agreements on what can we agree on about what needs to be governed globally and where do we agree to disagree on the way it's managed in different nation states.
Which will be very interesting to see how that evolves. So just going back to the book, actually, I'm going to do your plug for you, which is totally unanticipated. Roughly when is that coming out?
The new year. It's due at the publishers next week. Around. The more grey hair.
And you're talking to us, so we're immensely grateful. But actually, seriously, it would be great to see when it comes out. But I'm always wondering, and I do ask very senior people this a lot when I'm talking to them, which is, you know, when you look at the untapped potential, because at the moment, you know, there's a risk that everybody's slightly blindsided by the priorities under their noses right now. And we think also about, you know, the economic climate that we are arguably entering into, if not already in it. And I'd love to get your thoughts on where do you think we are untapped in terms of really reaping the full potential?
Well, I will say skills, and I want to link to AI here because this obviously the focus is AI. And because you said I'm the first UK AI skills champion, which came out of the AI review, which was published, you know, I did co-chaired for the government in 2017. That's 3 years ago now, nearly, since we published that. It doesn't seem possible. You know, I've talked about the internet, but the link to AI is, of course, that most, not all, I mean, some robotics you'll see or self-contained systems aren't linked to the internet at all. But most AI that happens on or through the internet, to be honest. And people access, train the AI on data, which is usually held on a cloud somewhere. Now, that may be a very secure cloud, but it all uses internet technology. It's all about distributed computing systems, which have been around for decades in a way. It's all part of that evolution. We need young people going into business to have a good understanding of the technology. I'm not talking about startups here, really, but medium size or even very large companies, there is not enough knowledge on the board about the technology. And I really think that youngsters, rising stars, need to be able to talk the language of technology so that they can, you know what I mean, everyone has to be an extreme programmer. Not everyone has to learn to be a machine learning programmer or an AI expert, but enough to understand how it all fits together, what the pressure points are, where the excitement is, what impact that all this technology is going to have on the company that they're looking to be part of or the sector that they're part of. I mean, just take the retail sector. We're in the UK, a nation of shopkeepers, not for much longer. Mm. And when you think, you know, the pandemic has been probably tipped the retail sector even faster into a completely unknown. I mean, I'm a great shop. I love shopping, particularly clothes shopping, and I've missed that. But I have so learned how good online shopping is in the pandemic. You know, you order it one day, it arrives as a parcel the next. That will be drone technology in the future. The idea of going to the high street is really yesterday's idea. I mean, they're big companies, they employ a lot of people, and we still need the product, right? It's not that we don't want to shop, it's just we're shopping in a different way. So if you're going into the retail sector, which is a fabulous sector to be in, you've got to think very differently, right? The mindset of we will run shops that are on the high street or out of town mega stores, which are, you know, even less, they will become warehouses. Something else that struck me about the pandemic, we need some joined up thinking about supply chains, because, you know, in the pandemic, we had the food and we had people who wanted the food, but we couldn't put the two together. Right? We didn't have that logistical information to make that work. And that's digital. Mm-hmm. And the same with the PPE, you know, the NHS workers and the care home workers. We had people manufacturing it and we knew where the people were wanting it, but we couldn't put that. It's a digital piece that puts that all together. So the world will transform around that.
And it's interesting to talk about it, because I was beginning to think, actually, my mind was going to, you know, if you think about how the, so for example, the high street is changing, but then also there's town planning. So the public sector as well as the private sector.
Well, this is where we need big thinking. And I know, I mean, the government, I wouldn't want to be a politician at the moment, let alone a prime minister or a president. At the moment, oh, you're on a lose-lose, whatever you do, because it's an unknown. And you're making decisions that affect, it's like a war. You're making decisions that affect people's lives. And really hard. We've got to get the economy working again. And I know they're trying to think big picture as well as sort out the immediate, you know, operational stuff. But the big picture of what happens to our town planning, you know, there are people without homes, there are people that need cheap housing, right? Who, and there'll be more of those people. So we have to think very quickly about reusing that estate that was for retail or office accommodation in the middle of town centres for the sort of housing that we need for the people who haven't got the money to buy a lovely house like I'm sitting in today. You know, it's like we have to have people that can think, and that is across government departments. That's the problem. It's like the interdisciplinary research I do. It's much harder to do in a way than straight disciplinary, because you've got to go across silos. And that's where I think governments have got to be very, very ambitious, and big companies too.
So anybody who's watching this and thinking about their career journey is must absolutely have technology and engineering and as an element of your
life. Well, I would make it, if I was Prime Minister, I'd make it mandatory for everyone to do math, science and technology, at least until they leave school. But we're getting there in a way. And I think another thing, I mean, everybody, so much more science and technology in terms of on the media these days. Every program, because the government mantra, we're listening to the scientists. I don't know how much I believe that into this. They may be having scientists say things to them. I don't know, because they have to take political decisions in the end. But for sure, science is on everybody's lips these days. And, you know, we've got really exciting things happening, like the stuff, you know, the rockets going up, the private enterprise taking people to the moon. And that's going to happen in my lifetime. That's so exciting. You know, it's come out of the research pioneer government days into the commercial. You know, it's so exciting. And we've got to sort out these big challenges. And, you know, we know that you have to work together to do that. You know, you've got to have a will, and you've got to be able to run global conversations. And the companies are a big part of this, as well as the governments. It's not just up to governments to do everything. Big companies, you know, the scientists, citizens need to understand what decisions they're making when they vote for people or buy something. A lot of education to do.
Julia, Wendy, what an absolutely amazing conversation. I totally agree that internet is one of the biggest innovations of our time. To those listening, if you want to find out more about Julia, you can follow her on Twitter @streets_Julia and on LinkedIn. And if you'd like to connect with Dame Wendy Hall, you can also find her on Twitter @DameWendyHallDBE. So thanks again for joining us. Remember to subscribe and rate the podcast. By subscribing, you'll get notified of all those wonderful episodes that we've got to come. And remember, we release a new episode every Wednesday.